Malachi, there, the last book in the Old Testament. They're not sure whether Malachi was the actual name of the person bringing the message, but Malachi does mean messenger of God or God's messenger. But we're calling him Malachi today, okay? And if you're here and you're Italian, that would be Malachi, okay? So it's either Malachi or Malachi. But you know, the message that Malachi was bringing was a difficult message. It was a difficult message to give, and it was a difficult message to receive from the people, because he was bringing just what God was wanting to say to the people at their time of Malachi. They needed to hear a message, this message there. 85% of the book of Malachi is direct words from God. You will see as we journey through the book of Malachi, there is two discussions going on. There's God speaking through Malachi, and there's also the people's response. So God would say, I have loved you. And the people would respond, well, how have you loved us? You have dishonored my name. And the people would retort, how have we dishonored your name? And God speaks 85% of the words in this book. God was addressing some problems with his people. Praise God, there's no problems here today. Yeah. Nervous laugh. I thank God I am in a church that's 100% healed up, loving, caring. God was addressing some things in their life. What was God addressing? Well, he was addressing their love for him. Talking about love, the giving and receiving of love. Do you know, they struggle to receive, they struggle to believe that God loved them. But they also were not giving God the love and the devotion that he was due. And God was wanting to speak into that. There was a problem with their worship. The way they honored their God, the way they brought their sacrifices to God. They were bringing sacrifices that were blemished. They were giving an attitude of, this will do. I wouldn't even eat that lamb, but let's give it to God and get it out the road. Let's give him this. And God was responding, would you actually give these animals to the king or the governor, your employer? No, you wouldn't. Well, why are you giving it to God? God was wanting to speak into the leadership, priests. God is wanting to speak into pastors and leaders. Do you know, we have a great responsibility of bringing the word of God, not just as the people, the priests were doing here. They were speaking the word, but not living the word. And you know, as pastors and leaders of churches, we are a greater accountability to God. And so whenever we think, I want to be a leader, just remember that we have a greater accountability to God there. And God was wanting to address some of the things that these priests were doing. Unfaithfulness to the marriage covenant, divorce. There was men divorcing their wives. And we have people in our church, we have people in our society who are divorced. But as we journey here, you will see the context of why they were divorcing their wives. And God was wanting to address the unfaithfulness. And sometimes God addressed just how they had been unfaithful to him and worshipping idols. Problem with giving, the stewardship. They were giving giving God just the minimum. Well, this will do. And you will see again as we journey and today why they believed that God only deserved the minimum. And they had a wrong perspective of God and his goodness. They wanted justice. You know, they couldn't see God was good because they looked at a world where ungodly people were prospering, they were living the life, and here they were serving God, trying to worship God, and yet everything seemed to be going well with them, but for the believers, nothing was going right. And so they were, and even with the evil in the world, they were saying, God, deal with them. Bring your justice. Smite them, almighty smiter. And love us. And so God was wanting to speak into that wrong perspective of their lives. Malachi comes with a call. A call to respond to the love of God. Totally loving him. He brings a call and a challenge to be authentic there. He brings a call to be faithful. To be faithful to God first and foremost there. A call to take a closer look at their lives and see where they are with God. I've been asking these past few weeks, where are you with God? Where is God with you? Where are you with God? And Malachi was bringing a call to trust in God, to trust and obey. And so we're entering into Malachi. Let me put some context into this. The people of Israel, God's people, were taken into Babylon captivity. They were taken away from their homeland. Daniel, Jeremiah, these guys were in that mix there. And in 538 BC, Cyrus decided that he would allow the Jews, to God's people, to go back to their homeland and rebuild their temple, which was decreed by God there. So 50,000 of them accepted that to go home and build the temple and Jerusalem. And after a period of time, the walls of Jerusalem were built under Nehemiah. The temple was built there. But here, after, as this message comes in, which probably they say is about 100 years after this has happened, the people are discouraged. The people are looking at the temple and thinking, is this it? I mean, look at the temple we had during Solomon's day. Wasn't that a splendor? But yet, what have we got here? And they were comparing. They were probably walking about. Do you remember the good old days? Do you remember the good old days when people were really committed? Do you remember the good old days when we were worshiping God and serving him and enjoying God? Remember those days. And they weren't seeing it now, and they were discouraged. They were discouraged. And they were feeling that they were unloved. If God really loved us, then he would bring some changes. And it didn't seem to be happening quick enough. And so Malachi is called by God to call the people back to him with a series of conversations. Seven conversations that happen through the book of Malachi. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they prophesied that the people would be given new hearts to obey God. God will put hearts of flesh and replace their hearts of stone. There was a promised Messiah that was going to come. God was going to restore the land, going to restore his people. And they were growing weary because it hasn't been happening. They're not seeing anything, and so they were wearied. And they were wondering, what is the point of serving God? You know, you may be here this morning, and you may be thinking, I've been coming to this church for years, or been going to another church and going through and worshiping God, but nothing major seems to be happening. And we go into a place where we can fall into the trap of just going through the motions. We just come, three songs, a prayer, the announcements, the word of God, finish with prayer, home after tea and coffee, and we can just fall in to that routine. And I, for pastors, is a challenge. It is a challenge, and not to put things in just to spice things up. But I want, my prayer is that we meet with God every week when we come and gather together. That's my prayer for the church. That's my prayer. And so going through the motions there, they were not bringing the best sacrifices. With so many prophecies not yet fulfilled, they were wondering if all this believing and following was really worth it, which was then reflected in the way they gave their offerings and their sacrifices, because they wanted more from God. Is God really worth all the sacrifice that we bring? Is God really worth giving my tithe every week? You know, if you're finding that, if you're feeling that, then there's a problem with your heart. And the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. Come on, turn to someone beside you and say, how's your heart today? Come on. Waking them up. Waking them up. Ask them, how's your heart? How's your heart? Yes, it's still ticking. It's still going. It's still beating. But how is your heart? These are words I believe. I have been sensing God asking me to speak on Malachi, and I've had a fight with God. God, I'm not doing that. I don't like that book. But it's the Bible. There are some tough conversations in here, God. And I'm feeling you're talking to me, which is right. I'll tell you, over these past few weeks as I have been studying this, God has just been digging deeper in my heart, rooting out all the stuff and the false beliefs and lies I believe about myself, about him, about the church. And I'm a pastor, goodness me. Someone who's supposed to have it all together. But this is a journey for us all. Just say, I don't have it all together, by the way. I'm not your perfect pastor. I am not Super Steve, your pastor. I am trying to serve God as best as I can, as you are there. And so when I was praying, what I felt the Holy Spirit say was, remind the people to listen with open hearts. We've got to keep our hearts open. Please don't shoot me down if I say something that's going to upset you. And today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear your voice, do not harden your heart. I thought that was your snoring, Karen, but I see it's Max. He's just so content there. And so, right, let's jump in to the Word of God. Malachi chapter 1. We're just going to read the first five verses. This is a message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. It does say the footnote in mine, Malachi means my messenger, but I'm calling him Malachi. Verse 2. I have always loved you, says the Lord. But you retort, really? How have you loved us? And the Lord replies, this is how I showed my love for you. I loved your ancestor Jacob, but I rejected his brother Esau. NIV will probably say, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Rejected his brother Esau and devastated his hill country. I turned Esau's inheritance into a desert for jackals. Esau's descendants in Edom may say, we have been shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins. But the Lord of heaven's armies replies, they may try and rebuild, but I will demolish them. Their country will be known as a land of wickedness. That was the Edomites as they... As you journey through Scripture, look up the Edomites and you will see how evil these people were, descendants of Esau there. And their people will be called the people with whom the Lord is forever angry. Goodness me, who wants to be known as that? When you see the destruction for yourselves, you will say, truly the Lord's greatness reaches far beyond Israel's borders. Wow, what an introduction to a book. The Bible, Old and New Testament, has been likened to acts of a play. We have Act 1, the Old Testament, as we go through here. Act 2 is the New Testament. We are now at a place where the curtain is about to come down on Act 1. The Old Testament is about to close. It's going to be closed for 400 years when nothing is recorded of God saying anything, no prophetic words coming in that period of 400 years. The curtain is about to close. And God, as the curtain is about to close, says, I need to speak to my people. And what is the first words that God says to his people? I have always loved you. I love those first words. I have always loved you. What God wants to get across, what God wants to instill into people's hearts, even before they receive some hard words, he wants them to know, I have always loved you, and I will continue to love you. Everything that God does and says and allows into our lives, into the people's lives, was because he loved them. The Lord disciplines those he loves, is what the Bible says. We want the love, a lovey-dovey God, who just, ah, oh, you're doing well. Stephen, you're doing well. Ah, oh, and I love the pats on the back. I love it. I love speaking messages about the love of God, the Father heart of God, the blessings of God. But the Bible has some strong words to say to our lives, and God has some strong words to say to these people. And so the title, if you're looking for titles today, week one, I have loved you. Come on, there's someone beside you who needs to know they're loved. Tell them. Come on, they don't believe it. Tell them they're loved. You are loved. You are loved. As we start on this journey, as we are going to go through Malachi, I believe we need to anchor ourselves on the love of God. We need to know that he loves us. We need to buckle up with the belt of truth. We need to buckle up with the belt of truth and let that be our foundation for all that God wants to say to us is he loves us. You are loved. You are loved. Victor Hugo, a French writer from the 19th century, says, the supreme happiness in life is the conviction that we are loved. I don't think it's a coincidence. The past few weeks we've spoken about the Father's love, the Father heart. I believe God has been preparing us for these weeks. Do you know some of the things that God wants to say? As I am reflecting and looking back, God's timing is perfect for what we are going to be hearing. We all have a need to be loved. Anyone not want loved? We all want to be loved. But we all have hidden things, skeletons in the closet. Do you know, I'm sure sitting here today, for most of us, we have stuff in our lives that we don't want anyone to find out about. I mean, if they found out, they would disown us, they reject us. But we have stuff. Even this week, we've said things, we've did things that we're not proud of. But here we have God with all the skeletons in our closet is saying, I love you. I have always loved you. And so don't let anything disqualify you from receiving his love. Malachi wants to get across. Why is Malachi telling them that they are loved? Why? Because they're doubting God's love. They don't believe that God loves them. They don't believe. But you respond, really? How have you loved us, God? Okay, where have you loved us? They didn't believe. Do you know, for us, we go through life. I grew up, as I became a Christian, doubting that I was saved. I gave my life to Jesus probably about 50 times. I just want to make sure, God, am I in? God, I just want to make sure you love me. Do you really love me? But God loves us. People here were doubting his love because they weren't seeing how God was loving them. They wanted to define how God should love them. God is a sovereign God, and he will love and he will do what he seems right and best for our lives. God is sovereign. He will do it. He makes choices. But these people were wanting loved the way they wanted to be loved. Romans chapter 1, we see the culture who were bringing God down and trying to fit them into their lives. They made God smaller so that it was more accessible. But God is not wanting us to try and fit him into our life somewhere. He is wanting us to fit our lives into him. And that is a difficult message to take. They heard the promises, the future blessings, the restoration, the deliverer coming, but they were not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. Are you feeling it this morning? Are you feeling it this morning? Got here, the ungodly seem to be prospering, evil people doing well, getting away with things that they were, the way they're living, and God was not doing anything about it. How does God respond? How does God respond? Do you know, we would have thought that God would have said, well, let me start. I brought you out of slavery. I did all that for you. I fed you manna and quail in the wilderness. I looked after you. I gave you water there. I brought you out from Pharaoh's grasp and from slavery, and I made you your own people. That's what I've done for you. I've been patient with you. I have been kind with you. I have forgiven you for worshipping idols. I have provided for you, rescued you, delivered you, fought your battles. Do you believe? Why are you asking, really, how do you love us? But God doesn't say that. Why on earth does God say, I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau? That's how I have loved you. And you're like, goodness. That's not what we ask God. How have you loved us? I have chosen Jacob and I've rejected Esau. This is about God choosing. This is about choosing. When we see in the Bible, when God is saying they hated something or love someone, I have loved Jacob, I have hated Esau, he is saying, I have chosen, I have preferred over, I have preferred, chosen Jacob other than Esau. And this, there's a word in theology that's called the election. That we are, you've heard that the elect, that God has chosen us. And you know, how has God shown us his love? He has chosen you. He has chosen you. We have the benefit of having him as a loving heavenly father. He has chosen you. He has chosen you. He's picked you. He has picked you. You're his first choice. He loves you. Do you know, when we live with all that at school, do you remember the two lines of people, the football game, we're picking the teams? Okay. Okay, two captains. Okay, you go first. I was never picked first. I was probably second last, probably. But we've all had that instilled into us. When are they going to pick me? And every time someone is picked, you feel, I believe, love less. Not as good as. And God is saying, how have I loved you? I have chosen you. You are my first choice. And you know, being chosen by God, having him as our heavenly Father, and these guys, these people here couldn't see that they were his chosen. And they would receive all the benefits of being chosen by God. But he wasn't loving them the way they wanted to be loved. Jacob, good news for us. Jacob was a swindler. He was a cheat. He was a mummy's boy. He cheated his brother out of his inheritance. He was up to no good. Anyone got a brother like that? And God says, I have chosen you. But for me, that God chooses us in all our stuff. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I have loved you. How have you loved us? I have chosen you. So you're chosen. Malachi is declaring, who wants to be a prophet? Declaring that the problems of his people, but he also brings in the promises of God. Yes, I have some strong things to say, is what he's saying to people, but these are the promises of God. There's a promise of mercy. There's a promise that a messenger will come and prepare the way for God to come himself. The Lord whom you are seeking will come. And this promise is focused on one person, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And we come to the time when, as Malachi is speaking to his people, the curtain is about to fall on Act 1, and that curtain comes down. And there is a 400-year intermission. That'll solve the queue problem, going for the ice creams and the coffees. 400 years. And sometimes, have you ever been to a play? Sometimes they lift the kind of main curtain, but there's still the kind of screen, and you can see people getting set up just behind. There's some lights there before the actual curtain comes up. And Act 2 is about to begin, and things that are being placed. Herod is in place. Elizabeth and Zechariah are ready. Mary and Joseph. Anna's in the temple praying for the Messiah to come. And there is a setup happening, and God is saying, this is the time. And the curtain rises, and then we see a manger, and there's a baby there. The Messiah has come, and the people are saying, is this the Messiah? It doesn't look like the Messiah. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And they're looking. But Act 2 is about to begin with Jesus. Everything. Abraham, as he looked forward to the promise, he was looking ahead. It talks about Abraham being able to see the time when Jesus would be born. A lot of these guys never saw the promises. Who wanted to be in Jesus' time? But this is our time. This is our time. And there will come a day when there will be a coming down of the curtain on Act 2. And Act 3 will begin God's final judgment upon the earth, where every man and woman will appear before God. We are all going to stand before God. A day of judgment is coming. Now, for us as believers, there's good news. Come on, turn to someone and say, don't panic, there's good news. There is good news. Because I just saw the fear in your eyes. What? Us standing before God, your wife, your husband, your friend, they'll not be there. It'll be you and God. And for us as believers who have accepted Jesus Christ, it will be for reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. But a day is coming. A day is coming. God is in control and God has set the time. But we are still in Act 2. We are still in Act 2. A baby has been born. Jesus is that message of hope, that message of restoration, that message of redemption, that message of hearts that will be changed. It's Jesus. The last words in Malachi, God will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and their mothers. What will it take for this softening of hearts, for this turning of hearts? How will God deal with the sin problem that has been a problem since the beginning of mankind? He will send Jesus. God will come to the earth himself in the form of his son Jesus. Get your head around that. Not the way the people expected. Deliver us from the Romans. We want a warrior. And God sends a baby. Act 2. Mercy. Grace. Salvation. Yeah, Max, totally. An offering. A pure offering. An unblemished lamb. The people were offering defiled ones. But God was going to bring that there was going to be a perfect Lamb of God who will be sacrificed. And God would be pleased with it. Jesus will come as that great high priest, not like some of the corrupt priests. He will live the life. He will be the person that we need to minister to us. We are a kingdom of priests. He will instruct the people with authority and with integrity. Jesus will deal with the problem of faithless husbands. Smite them all. No, he won't. And he will show us what it means for a husband to love his wife through Jesus, the husband, loving his church. We are the bride of Christ. Sorry, guys, we are the bride of Christ. He will address all the things that he was speaking about. All happens through Jesus Christ. Refiner's fire. He will purify us. He will cleanse us. He will deal with sin. Just like gold and silver who are just in that fire being purified. God is purifying our lives. Everything that he sees in our lives that's not of him, all the junk and I was going to say junk and glunk. Glunk's not even a word, is it? But it rhymes. And you know, when we feel that we're going through the fire, we automatically say, the enemy's coming against me, the devil's against me, everything's against me, but who knows that God is allowing some stuff to happen in our life to just to bring us to a place. Do you know, I probably, in my journey, all this stuff, a lot of things were happening in my life. And even now, I believe God is saying to me, Stephen, I need to bring you to an end of yourself where you will trust in me. Because let me tell you, I could do a service here without God. I could preach and you would say, that's great. I would throw in a few jokes and get you to laugh. And we've had a nice time. The team can get up here and sing us some songs and we could do it and wasn't that a great day? We could go through the emotions or the motions, but do you know, I want to, do you want to meet with God? Do you want to meet with the true and living God? I want my heart purified. Purify my heart. Oh, you're waking, Max. God, through his son Jesus, who would hang on a cross, would take all our stuff, all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt upon himself. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we can be the righteousness of God. You are righteous because of Jesus Christ. And when you stand before God, when you come into his presence, you can stand there with boldness, with confidence, and know that you are loved and that you are righteous through Jesus Christ. When we mess up, We can come to God and say, God, forgive me for my mess ups. God, forgive me. I repent of my sin. And what does God do? He forgives our sin and he cleanses us from that unrighteousness. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? I have loved you. You will hear some tough words from this book of Malachi. I would encourage you, prepare yourself. Dive into it. You will hear some tough words, but prepare yourself also and get to that place where you know, where you know, where you know, where you know, Max, where you know that you are loved.